Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
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 Oh, dude, that's awesome.
Really awesome.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Oh, awesome. That's
awesome.
With Stephen Bradford. Stevie B, what's going on, dude?
Wow, that was amazing.
It's early.
That's
really good.
It's morning. It's morning time. It's get up and go time.
It is go time.
And this is a very exciting day for us because we get a lot to do today.
We do,
and we have a very ambitious schedule, and we're starting it off so beautifully.
Beautifully is an excellent word for that description of.
Yes.
What the beginning of at least this podcast will be. After that, we aren't sure.
Yeah, well,
but
yeah.
But right now, it's beautiful.
It's an auspicious start. We have Brianna Henry with us this morning.
Hello.
And she glows.
She's Aww. Amazing.
It's like the
Thanks,
sunrise
guys.
In our
she's
presence.
Amazing.
Aww,
she's
man.
Amazing.
Awesome. And so this is maybe the second or third time that I've been in the same room.
Yeah.
And you're new to all of us.
I'm pretty new to
She's
everybody.
New.
And that's really fun.
It is fun because we know nothing about her.
Yes.
No, a little bit. We've talked in the hallways and stuff yeah. when you get a chance.
Yeah.
You know, but she came in, obviously, as a recast.
Right. Mm.
Which isn't the easiest
no.
position to be in.
No.
Right? But we can get into that. But let's talk about you first.
Yes. Cool.
So right? Where are you from?
So originally, I was born in Broward County, Florida, but
one
I moved.
One of the famous counties.
One of the famous.
Infamous.
Yes. Infamous is the right way to say that.
It's infamous.
Moved to Miami when I was like, I think 8 or something like that, and then grew up there until I moved out here for college.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So what was growing up in Miami like for you?
Gotta say, I'm probably gonna disappoint some of my Floridians, but
yeah.
I was not a fan of Miami. The place is stunning. It really
right.
is very, very beautiful. The people are, you know, it's funny. People think that Miami is this diverse melting pot of humans, which it is, but there's a lot of racism. And I went to private schools my whole life.
Yeah.
And I just dealt with a lot of issues with kids that I guess had just not been around a lot of. I was usually the only black student like in my grade,
yeah.
sometimes even in my school.
Sure.
So I just dealt with a lot of teasing and bullying growing
up. Sucks.
It sucked.
Let's lift each other all
I'm
other
like, why
up.
Don't we all just Come lift on, each other
right?
up?
Man.
Yeah, yeah. So it was, but I would say like I loved the beaches. I miss Cuban food so much. My dad, everyone's like,
Have you ever been to Porto's in the valley?
You know, okay, so this is the thing. I'm super lactose intolerant.
Oh, no.
So all of the joys of my childhood have pretty much been ripped away from me.
Oh,
like
my
pastelitos.
God.
Like, I don't eat meat anymore.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, your Cuban food's off.
My Cuban food is just, like, dead pretty much now.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
But yeah. I do, man, a Cuban sandwich back in the day.
So at what point in your life did you find yourself kind of being either steering yourself or being steered to the arts?
You know, I think I was always very curious about it. I was, you know, I remember being with my dad and like always coloring or drawing and stuff. I came from a really creative family. My mom was a jazz singer and
nice.
My dad was a writer who's
wow.
now a cop as well.
A writer of what sort?
He likes a lot of sci-fi stuff.
So he'd write books or
Yeah,
stories?
like novels kind of more
wow.
so like novel screenplays.
Yeah. Wow.
And so it was always kind of in my world, but I was
yeah.
more of an athlete. I like loved sports.
Yeah.
I played volleyball. I played year round. And I decided, I did this poetry, I think it's Poetry Out Loud.
Is that an NPR thing? Or
I don't know. It might be now.
I heard about it. I feel like it's going on now. Or
it may be.
And
I
heard
it's like a whole competition.
Yeah, it's so cool.
And I ended up making it to state finals.
Oh,
and
wow.
it was from my like AP English class.
All for high school students?
All for high school students.
Yeah, that's so great.
Cool.
And I ended up falling in love with being on the stage. And I told my parents, I was like, I want to act. And my mom was like, you need to get trained. Like, you don't know
mom.
Anything yeah. about acting.
Yeah.
And so my dad found this USC summer program.
Yeah.
And I did a month-long program there the summer going into my senior year of high school.
So, but you were still in Florida. Your parents were still in
Yep,
Florida.
Yep, still in Florida.
So you came out here.
Yeah, I came out here for that month.
Wow.
Fell in love with it. Wow. And went home and told my volleyball coach, and he was like, you need to pick theater or volleyball. And I was like, well, I'm 5'7", and I'm not the best on the team, so I'm going to go with volleyball. I'm going to go with acting.
I'm going to go with volleyball.
I'm going to go with volleyball.
Duh. How dare you make me choose?
Oh, wow.
I will spike this on your head. I'm 5'7".
So I started theater senior year of high school. I prepared myself for my USC audition. And I told myself, I was like, I auditioned for all these schools. And then I was like, if I don't get into USC for acting, I'm just not going to act. Then it's just a sign that I'm not supposed to do it, which was really bold and naive.
I was going
to
say.
And I'm really glad it worked out.
Yeah, really. Man.
Yeah, man. So that's kind of how I got into acting.
You said your mom was a jazz singer.
Yeah.
So did that mean that you grew up watching her sing in certain, like, or did you go to bed and she went to work, or like, how'd that work?
It was more that one. Okay. So she would like rehearse in our house. I actually have this really cute video of me being like, I think 6 years old and her singing. She used to sing all these sexy jazz standards.
Yeah.
And you have like little 6-year-old Brianna like trying to be sexy next to her.
That is just so
ridiculous. But yeah, she worked weekends, and you know, my parents split when I was like 5, but they were best friends. So my dad lived right across the street from us. And I just stayed with him all weekend when she would be working in Miami.
And so he would write. He was writing in Miami.
He was writing. And my dad was like kind of just a Renaissance man. He had like 2-3 jobs at the time. He was writing, you know, trying to help my mom when he could. And
would he just have those moments, like those times where he'd be locked in a room because he was like going strong with an idea?
You know,
or was it always?
My dad loved to use those recorders in the car.
Oh,
do you remember that?
My dad did that.
Yeah, my dad too. My dad was like a salesman. Like, and
he always had the little.
Yes.
Like the detective recorder.
Yes.
Like, you know,
totally.
It was crazy.
Like the little, with the tiny little cassette tape.
That, yeah.
Would you always take it and pretend like you were like a spy or something?
Yes, absolutely.
Because we didn't have handheld electronics back in those days, right? Well, I know you're younger than us by like a good 15 years. But
she's born in like
99. I'll take 99.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I remember those handheld electronics, right?
Oh,
they just seemed so cool.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Because we didn't have anything. I mean, now they're antiquated, obviously, but back
it's called
then.
It's an iPhone now.
Right.
Yeah, literally. Right.
So, but anyway, those, I love those things.
Yeah, so he worked for like this, I want to say this like skin lab or something for this doctor. So he would deliver skin samples, and isn't that insane?
Like, what?
I think it was like a doctor that like did a lot of like skin cancer research.
Oh,
and
so
stuff.
Like testing,
so he would, like
biopsy
so he would, like,
stuff.
Yeah, like biopsy stuff. So he would deliver, I think, these samples to Orlando. So he was in his car all the
driving
time,
driving around skin.
Yep, writing sci-fi novels on his, you know,
on his recorder.
Thing. Yeah,
that's amazing.
Wow. That sounds like a TV show.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, you're driving around skin samples and then like writing like sci-fi stuff.
Yeah, and then the
like
sci-fi
a Dexter
something
twist.
Comes down and
exactly,
yeah.
Right.
Gets the DNA.
Not to say that your dad was like
a serial killer, but like,
I mean, that's a really cool setup for one. Right.
It's a great story.
He becomes famous for writing these like these crazy crime novels, horrific novels, and that makes sense. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can have that idea. We'll give that.
Thank
one to
you so much.
Right.
I'm going to write it down.
You can
in
infuse
my
it with your own person. Yeah, it's great. Wow. Wow. So, okay. So, but now you're at USC.
Yep.
And parents were like, awesome.
Oh, my parents were so happy about it. I mean, I think that they knew that once I got hooked on the arts, they were just going to kind of lose me to them, which they couldn't fight me on it because they both so desperately loved the arts themselves.
Right. But that's a tough thing though, because when you've been in the arts, you know how hard it can be.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like,
and leaving home.
And leaving home. Oh, my mom lost her mind.
Oh, that's the tough one
right there. Second year into college, my sophomore year, and she called and she was like, I need to move to California. So she actually lives here now.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
She's
that's
like
amazing.
10 minutes down the street from me.
Oh, that's amazing.
There's some jazz bars around here.
Right?
Does she still perform?
No, she doesn't.
Oh.
In the car, in the house, but like.
That'd be amazing if she could, right?
I know. I always try to convince her to sing.
Because Nancy was just telling me that we just had the Emmys.
Yeah.
And she was at a bar. I don't know her boyfriend's name. I keep forgetting.
I just call him the Savior.
Yes.
I want to say Richard.
But he's a musician, right? Classically trained.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
So he was playing. She was saying that they were playing with like some guy from Chicago and Tower of Power at this like seedy dive bar in Burbank where they were just playing for tips.
Oh,
and you're sitting listening to the guys who have been playing their whole
like
lives.
Phenomenal.
But that's something your mom could do. Be like, hey, go sing at one of these places.
I know.
Just to like get that.
Just
I'm sure she
that
still
instrument.
Want, you know.
And she has such
I'm
a beautiful
sure,
voice.
I'm sure she'd sure, love yeah. to do that because yeah. it never dies, right?
It does.
The
no,
and there's so, I mean, there's so many places in L.A.
Especially
like,
here.
Like at the, at the Dresden, you know, that older couple that yeah. sing, that they're famous, I forget their names. But like there's places that you can sing around town because there's just so many like old establishments that have been here forever that have that in place. It's awesome.
Totally.
Yeah, that's cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So mom moved out and you're in college.
Mom moved out. I'm in college and it was great. I loved USC. I really did. I was, I picked USC because I wanted a theatrical experience, but I wanted a full, like well-rounded college experience as well.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I got there and I didn't really care about anything else but theater.
Yeah. Well, I mean, usually the hours of theater programs are not traditional compared to what other kids are doing. And
Yeah.
I went to NYU.
Okay.
Yeah, and so it's the same kind of thing. I don't know if you did. Do you take any musical theater at all?
Yeah, you know, we had some musical theater classes, right. And I did some musicals in high school, but yeah. I never got a chance to really do it. Actually, I did, I think, maybe one in college.
Yeah.
That was a bit more like, I think it was like Arabian Nights or something. So it was like
cool.
kind of musical.
Sure. But like I just had nights where it was, you know, it was Thursday night at 11:30 and people were like, hey, let's go for another drink. And I'm like, I can't. I have ballet at 8 in the morning.
Right? Yes.
And people were like, what? And
yes.
I'm like, yeah, no, it's just a different thing.
Yeah, I got a Sorry. Monologue about, you know, dying from a car accident
right.
coming back to life.
I gotta go work on
what?
That. Yeah. There is nothing worse than being hungover in ballet class. I will tell
man.
You that.
I would not know.
Yes.
Clearly. You're a brave man. I sucked at ballet.
Well, no, I'm not saying I was good at it. I'm sure you look
hey,
better
gave,
doing ballet
you,
than
you
I
gave
did.
Effort though.
You gave it a go.
You gave it a go.
So college, you just had blinders on. You were, this is my thing and I'm doing it.
That was
it.
My thing. And yeah. I wasn't much of a partier. I was kind of a homebody.
Yeah.
So I was just constantly like in the theater. I also think it didn't hurt. I dated a football player my freshman, sophomore year.
Well done,
and
you.
And when we broke up, I was like, I'm not going to any more football games.
Sure. So, but
done
for
with
those
that.
First two
done
years, were that. You like fight on? Like it was the...
You know, it's funny. I've always been a person that, like, I'm an athletic person, and
right.
I love being athletic, but I never loved watching sports. It always just makes me want to move.
Yeah.
Sure.
And so, you know, I was, like, I think for a hot second, you know, I remember, like, wearing his jersey and, like, being super, like, rah-rah.
Yeah.
But I never really understood what was going on.
Okay.
I was like, oh, we have the ball!
Oh, no, we lost the ball!
Oh, I don't know why!
Yeah. But after that was over, you could... easily steer clear of that and have a good reason.
A good reason. I was
like,
nice.
Done. So what were
that's
the high...
That's great that you had that focus because you could be derailed very easily.
Oh, yeah, in college.
In college.
Especially at USC. I mean, it's such a party, fun school as well. So
I would have been
dead. And when you're going as, you know, if you go to the University of Oklahoma, you don't have a whole lot outside of campus that's maybe drawing you in. But
exactly.
when you're going to college in L.A.,
in
nothing against Norman,
yeah.
Oklahoma. It's a nice place. But I'm just saying, like, when you have L.A. just right
calling
there,
your name.
Well,
right.
you have everything.
Well, yeah.
You got
yeah.
Hollywood.
Yeah.
You got the football. You got the beach.
Or,
you,
right,
got,
yeah.
you got
when
a lot
you're
of
down
distractions.
Down by USC, you're actually closer to, like, the beach cities, too. Yeah.
And so. It's hard because a lot of our professors, I was in the BFA program at USC, so we had to audition to get in.
Yeah.
And so our professors were kind of, like, just had the whip on us, and they really didn't want us to professionally work until we graduated.
Mm.
And I kind of broke that rule. And
luckily,
the universe kind of just conspired for me. And every day that I was shooting, I ended up – that was actually my first soap gig. I was on Young and the Restless for, like, 6 months.
Right.
And
when was that?
It was I think it was like 2014.
Right.
I think. And I just got lucky. Every time I had to shoot for them, I just happened to not have classes at USC.
Oh wow. So you didn't have to like bow out at
No.
Was that your first ever like being in front of a camera thing?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was a lot of cameras to be in front of for the first
right.
time.
Where am I looking?
Yeah, oh my God. Oh, we're only
Don't
doing
pay
one take.
Right now.
Yeah. So did you have on-camera courses at USC at all?
We had one.
Yeah.
And it was was helpful. I wish that we had had more exposure to it. Yeah. That was one thing that I wish USC had prepared us for a bit more was on-camera stuff because we lived in L.A.
Yeah.
So you had to assume that most of the kids were going to try to do TV and film after and not theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went in and I was just so green and nervous.
At least with soaps, though, since you have so many cameras around you, you don't have to be as technically sound.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And there's not as many terms that are thrown out on our set that are foreign to you.
Yeah.
Like when you're on a film set, there's a lot of terms that if you don't know what they are, you can be like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
But we don't throw a lot of technical terms up.
No, but I think you're right, though, Brianna, in the fact that just having a camera in front of you immediately gives you something just physically. You're like, oh, crap, there's a camera.
Yeah.
Oh, crap, it's recording. Oh, crap, I'm not ready. I'm nervous. So I'll tell young actors, I'll go, just go get a camera.
Yes.
And just have it around.
Put it in your room.
Like, have it around you. You know what I mean? So it becomes comfortable because when we've talked, you know, when I did some film stuff, and you know, Brad, it's like right in your face.
Yeah.
Right? That's a whole nother ball game than
what
we do.
Yeah.
Right? We're super comfortable. We know all that stuff. But still, one person coming in, never doing anything, and then seeing four cameras, sometimes five, you're like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, you man. Know? It was trippy.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on,
a lot going on. And, you know, luckily, it was different than my experience here because I'm a series regular here. And there I was just, I think it was a guest star.
Right.
And, you know, they made me kind of this, like, scandalous model that, like, was drugging one of the main characters.
Yeah, I played one of those.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so, no, he doesn't.
I know, you're just kind of like the sweetheart. intellect.
Scandalous model.
Scandalous model. Hold on. We're doing a movie about a scandalous model. Let's get Bradford in.
I think Bradford's great for it.
And guess what? He's available. It's so stupid.
And so there, I mean, I was doing like, you know, a couple lines here and there, and they ended up liking my character, so they kept me on for like 16 episodes.
That's great.
It was super fun.
Totally.
And honestly, I worked a lot with Brighton from Young
Rest,
who I adore.
Yes.
He's just such a good human.
Such a sweet guy.
Yeah. The first day we met,
good dude.
And it was like my first on-camera like makeout session too. And I'm like I'm in like a towel, and he's like, "Hi, I'm Brighton." I'm like, "Hi, I'm Brianna."
We're gonna
start kissing.
And 5, 4, 3, 2.
God, what a strange friggin' thing we
isn't
do.
It?
Such a strange thing.
I know. Yeah. Here's your first day.
Yeah.
Go
Hi,
make
Brighton.
Out.
I love you.
Yeah.
So wild.
I know it's weird, right?
So wild.
So but after that was that. Once you did that, were you like, ooh,
this is cool, or what?
I like this, I want more of this, or like it?
Yeah, I was kind of hooked. It was terrifying, and I have to say, I really think that GH has given, just kind of elevated me as an actor to a different level, because I now feel so much more comfortable on set and around cameras.
There you go. So you did 16 or so episodes
over like 6 months.
Right. So
you know?
When did you feel like, what episode did you feel like, okay, I'm not super nervous now? Because it really, I don't know if it ever goes away.
Yeah,
away, but
it's always a little bit there. I mean, but I got to say, I think there I was always nervous. I think the whole time I was there, I was just like,
because also
you're one line.
Because also you don't know how long it was going to last, right?
Yeah.
So you're like, God, I hope if I do well today. Yeah, if I do well today, maybe they'll invite me back tomorrow.
Totally, absolutely, absolutely.
So,
and so I think for here, it even took a good like 2 months for me to really like, I want to say one of my first scenes with Maurice, I feel like really shook me out of like my nervousness, and like, he's just so present when you act with him that I was like, great. I can't even think about myself right now because I'm here with you, which was nice.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, I get that.
You
well, he's so terrifying that you have to. Do you know, like, you're not worried. Like, the thing to worry about is him, not the camera angle. It's like,
exactly.
Wait a second. Is he going to bite in my face?
Yeah, you're like, you're staring through me so hard right now.
Yeah.
Pay attention, kids.
Pay attention.
While you're working with him.
Yes.
Because you never know what might come your way.
But that's, but that's really valuable, though. Cause
it is.
You're
it
in
does
the
take you out of
well,
your head.
You're in you're in the world with him, whatever that crazy-ass world is, but you're there.
Yeah, totally.
And that's awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, but you didn't, there's been some time between when you did YNR and when you came here.
Oh, yeah.
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 So, you when you got out of college, because you did YNR when you were a senior? Or?
Yeah, it was when I was a senior in college, and I was feeling real cute. I was like, I haven't even graduated, and I've been on a show.
Look at me.
And then the silence came after graduation, because they wrote me off YNR, because really I had, I had my senior showcase in New York for a week, and they wanted me to shoot like 3 episodes while I was there, and I was like, no. Right. And they were like, well, then goodbye. And I was like, well, goodbye then. I guess this is our time. We're done.
Yeah. Sure.
And so then, you know, I graduated college. Luckily, I got an agent right out of college.
Yeah.
And I did a couple of guest stars and co-stars here. I did an episode on Jane the Virgin.
How fun.
I got to be on oh, what is NBC? Oh my gosh, I'm forgetting the show I was on. It was a sitcom. Wow.
You're gonna have to IMDb I know that.
Right?
If only there was a way for us to see
it. With Brent Morin and Chris D'Elia.
Oh, Undateable?
Yeah. Undateable. I was on Undateable for like 4 episodes. And that was kind of an interesting experience because they tape it live.
Chris D'Elia is
oh my god
so funny,
such a goof. I mean,
so
they're
funny.
So talented, those guys.
Gosh, I know.
I really had no. I had a whole new respect after working with them because you know Chris. Right after he would go straight to like the Laugh Factory.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They were constantly working on their craft.
Oh, all the time,
always. So there was just a lot of respect.
And they were on.
Yeah, they were so on.
Was that a different, unique process to them? I mean, everything was scripted, I imagine, but started out
for the most part, everything was like scripted loosely.
Right.
Like, you know, those guys are such geniuses that they would just like find a joke that worked better.
Yeah.
And they would go with that instead or something like that.
Right.
And it was fun. I originally got cast as Brent Morin's girlfriend or new girlfriend. And I think I kind of got cast because I had to sing in the audition and we were going to like sing on the show. We ended up not singing at all on the show.
Yeah.
But I met like so many wild people. I was on one of the last episodes of it. And so they had like all of the Grey's Anatomy cast there. They had Ed Sheeran. I met Ed Sheeran. Like, it was such a wild, wild experience.
That's crazy.
That's weird.
All those people together.
Right?
Why the Grey's Anatomy people?
Because I want to say, what's his name? Bill was the, I think, creator of the show. And he had, I think, directed a lot of Grey's Anatomy episodes.
Oh, okay.
So it may have actually.
It wasn't part of the show. They were just happened to be there to support their friend.
They were on the show. I think some of them were on the
show. Oh, they were. Okay.
And some, like, I feel like, I want to say it was like Ed Sheeran singing at the end of the episode. Because, like, we had these, like, breaks in between, like, shooting and stuff. And sometimes they would tape them. And I want to say Ed Sheeran was singing in a bar on the show or something.
That's amazing.
And you just had all these, like, amazing random actors on the show, too.
And now, look where you are. Next to Grey's Anatomy every day.
Right? Literally every day.
Yeah. Crazy town.
Super wild.
Today's episode of That's Awesome is brought to you by our good friends at FabFitFun. FabFitFun is a seasonal subscription box with full-size beauty, fitness, fashion, and lifestyle products.
That's right. These boxes are guaranteed to pick you up every season. And since the products are full-size, Bradford,
oh, I love me some full-size products.
They may even last you until the next exciting FabFitFun box arrives.
I mean, everyone loves mail, right? Everyone loves. And when the mail, when there's a parcel, when there's a box that comes with your mail, it feels special. It feels like your birthday. It feels like someone's thinking about you. And they are, because they are curating really cool stuff for you, specifically for you. And you can customize some of these items, so it truly is your box.
Yes, that box retails for $49.99, but always has a value of over $200. That's what I like to hear.
Unbelievable. And you can get some of the products that they have these days. Bear Paw, Trina Turk, Zoya, Vince Camuto.
Wow.
Anthropology. I mean, these are amazing.
The first three names sounded like from Game of Thrones, but the rest, I that was amazing. Check out FabFitFun.com and use the code AWESOME. 10, so you can save $10 off your first box, making it only $39.99. Again, that's FabFitFun.com, and use the code AWESOME10.
AWESOME10, and these boxes always sell out, so don't wait around.
Get it?
Yeah, I did some single cam. I did this really interesting thing with David Ayer. I was in Bright, that Will Smith film. I was one of the main female orcs. And so, like, really, I was, like, the background, main female background orc. For, like, every female you saw in that, it was me in prosthetics.
Oh,
that took,
gosh.
Like, 3.5 hours to get on.
Wow.
That was super. I went in, and the audition was really, like, sketchy. Like, they were like, so you're going to meet David Ayer, and there's no sides. And I was like, okay, he just wants to meet me. They were like, yeah. So I went in and I sat down and he was like, all right. And he just started asking me all these weird questions. He's like, so how would you feel like, you know, if you like had to breastfeed a baby as an orc? And I was like,
what's an orc?
Yeah, and what's an orc? I think it's some kind of like magical creature.
What's an orc?
But
does it have sharp teeth?
Yeah.
Or,
I'm like,
or does it have a mouth?
Yeah.
Complications to that? Yeah.
I'm a woman. I guess I could figure it out. And you know, it was like, are you claustrophobic? And I was like, don't think so.
It depends.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know.
Right.
And so then I ended up booking. I left and I called my best friend and I was like, oh, that's I definitely didn't get that. I was like, he like told me to pick up a piece of paper. He was like, just walk around the room and say these lines. And I was like, oh, this, I'm not going to get this. And 5 minutes after, like, he loved you. And I was like, all right. So I ended up doing that. What are other some of the random things I did? I did a film.
But so by the time, In that space, like, how comfortable were you in like in your trajectory in terms of, because you did that workout at college, were you just like, all right, this is going well, this is what I'm doing, like I feel good about this, I love being in LA, I like, where were you in that space?
I felt pretty good. I think that I was still not getting the heavy type stuff that I get to do on this show.
Sure.
It was a bit of lighter on the surface type stuff that I was doing, so I was starting to feel more comfortable on sets. I was starting to feel more comfortable with the dynamic of sets and figuring out who I need to talk to when I need to find something out. And like I'm just like such a curious person. Even here, like I'm constantly like, you know, Dee Dee will be giving someone a note and I'm like right there. Cause like, I'm just so curious. I want to know about the relationships and the cameras and why they choose that angle.
Right.
So I was always a very nosy actor. I always wanted to know everything that was on set.
That's useful.
Yeah. How you learn.
Yeah. I was learning, you know.
There are some people who haven't. Learn.
Yeah, and some people that don't even really care, that just want to come and do their thing. Yeah. And
right. Well, because there is something about the way our work is structured, the way our career is structured, is you do all this work to get the job.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the job, and then you're like, oh, cool, I got the job. And then you're like, oh, crap, now I got to do it.
How do I do it?
And sometimes when you get there, sometimes it's very easy to just fulfill the task given to you without thinking of it as. It's almost like auditioning's the work in the job is sometimes. It's weird.
Absolutely. I mean, I felt like so much of me as an actor, my strength was like auditioning and like self-tapes, because I just was constantly for years plowing out self-tapes, learning how to do them quick and efficient.
Sure.
And auditions, doing 3 in a day. And like, then you get a job and you're like, oh, I haven't not had to do that for a long time.
And a lot of times the jobs that you're going into are established sets
with a
cast and crew that know each other.
Absolutely.
So you're the outsider. So you don't want to step on any toes. You don't want to ask too many questions
because
you don't want to look like an idiot. You want to just be the puzzle piece that they need for that one episode, and then you're gone. So
it's a weird dynamic. You feel very it can feel very isolating.
So. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt
please.
You. Your first day here, though, did you have a lot of stuff that first day?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I had a lot of stuff.
They don't,
that first
you know,
day.
God love them.
They always start heavy.
They always, it's like, because she did, you know, she got thrown right into the fire.
Yeah.
Like Chad did, right? Like Chad, so happy to get the job.
Yeah.
But then you're on set and you're like terrified. It's terror.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have 40 pages.
I think
you're
I had
like,
40 or like 38
yeah,
pages.
And you're like,
my first
there's
day.
Just no way. This is going to happen today.
No.
It's not happening.
No.
Let's just get that
out
of the way.
I'm going to get fired immediately. Right. Like, it's going to be done.
And then Josh Swickard, same thing.
Yeah.
Terrified, right?
Yeah.
I'm thrown right in. He's like, huh?
Absolutely.
I got the job. Getting the job is supposed to be the hardest part.
Yes.
Right. But in daytime, then you get here and you're like, what do I do? Because people don't really fill you in.
Well, and what was so crazy is that when I was auditioning for Jordan, one, I think she had a different name, which is pretty usual for us when we audition for stuff like that.
But try to hide
for the recast?
For the recast. But I didn't even know. I think it was like, I want to say it was like the night before. And we had, it was like, I want to say like 6 or 7 pages of dialogue. And they changed all of it the night before.
Oh, gosh.
And so I had to relearn all of it.
For your work day or for your audition day?
For my test.
Oh, wow.
And they changed everything. And none of it was like police talk.
Yeah.
So it was just like emotional, like with Donnell.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, cool. Like, I know how to do this. And then I got on set the first day. And it was like the PCPD and so-and-so was stabbed in the heart and it was 3 centimeters. And I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah. I've never heard these words before.
And that's went to college. You're safe. Yes. You're safe.
That stuff is harder to memorize than the emotional stuff.
Oh, totally.
It? It doesn't, you're not connected to what any.
Yeah. It's hard to like drop it into a real place inside of you because it's like jargon.
Exposition.
Yeah.
It is because obviously those guys say that stuff every day and deal with it every day, like medical terms.
Totally.
Right. It's like you would never do that. It's not a part of who you are as a person.
Absolutely.
The emotional stuff's easy and all that.
Exactly.
Easier. You know, but then you get all that kind of, like with Jason Thompson. And Patrick would have to do all the medical stuff. I'm like, dude, I don't even know how you do
it. It's exhausting. I mean, honestly, I would just sit there and I would walk around like the way I would do it when I first started is I would just like get a monologue of like one of my PCPD things. Yeah. And I would just be walking my dog, saying it there, like just saying it as much as I could. Yeah. So on the day I could try to be present and connect with
it. That works.
But man.
Well, but sometimes like some of that minutia is not meant to be like – not meant to be important necessarily, right?
Exactly. It's a story.
It's just, you know, especially in a police scenario in a workplace, you don't have to be.
It's a matter of fact.
And it's funny, though, sometimes in soaps, like that kind of stuff, someone that is used to having to make the stakes higher put so much emphasis on something that doesn't need emphasis. Yes.
You're like, oh, you took it there. Yeah. All right.
And 3 centimeters from the heart.
And that's sometimes what makes our genre sometimes look silly to people.
It's true.
Is because we're infusing simple scenarios with really heightened stakes.
Yes.
Sure.
But what I like about our show is that they don't push us to that.
No.
Sometimes they're like, hey, make this more important.
Yeah, totally.
But if it, I there is, in the 15 or 14 years off and on that I've been here, I've seen both sides of that. People that are very good at making it sound normal and organic and us going with that. And also people that do the other. And so, but it's nice. And people say that to us, that our show sometimes in the soap realm feels more
realistic.
Like cinematic or realistic or, you know, more because I think we don't infuse, like we don't make crazy scenarios out of nothing.
Absolutely. And I think that was something that was helpful just my couple of years before getting this job, being, you know, the one day co-star, the guest stars. Like sometimes my lines were very basic and I was really just moving something along. And you just have to know when you are like what your purpose is. Sometimes you are literally just to assist the other actor in the scene and to help lift them up. And so you always, I feel like, need to be aware of your placement among the people that you're working with.
Well, and that speaks to your
that's a great self-awareness.
Your confidence, self-awareness. Because some people won't give other people that space to do that.
Yes.
True.
You're in this scene too?
Oops.
I have to tell someone where the bathroom is, and that is super important. You talk about your life-saving
procedure.
And this
will be your last day, sir.
Yes, right? Thank you so much.
You will exit to the bathroom for life.
Forever.
You are out.
Oh, man.
That's amazing.
And to come in and play a police chief?
Commissioner.
Commissioner. I mean, that's, not just chief, commissioner. that requires some, like, gravitas.
And here's the best part. It's the complete opposite of her.
It's true.
She's so nice.
Thanks, Steve.
She's such a nice human being that I'm like, you gotta toughen up a little bit.
Yes.
I said, you're the commissioner now. You can start laying down the law here.
Yes.
It's time to let Brianna go for a minute.
Yes.
Go do your job. Let's go upstairs. Come on.
That was like my main note when I got here. And it's funny because my fiance Chris and my mom, like people that know me on a very personal level, they know that there's like,
he's as nice as you, so that's not helping.
He's as nice as me, but there's like a fire and intensity to me that just not a lot of people see. Like you pretty much have to make me really pissed off to like see the other side of Brianna.
Sure.
And so I've been trying to access her more, I think, with Jordan. And everyone here is like, you got to be tougher. I'm like, okay, but I just want to connect.
Right.
I just want to be vulnerable.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And if that, you don't want to add that if it doesn't come naturally to you, right?
Exactly.
You don't want it to feel inauthentic.
But it's been cool because I do think that, Frank and some of the producers and writers on the show are starting to kind of get a, because also I was replacing Vanessa, who I think had a different edge than I did.
Of course.
Sure.
You know? And so I think that the beginning, they were really trying to get this toughness out of me. Mm-hmm. And they found out, like, the way to get it for me was allowing me to kind of connect and, like, just be very grounded with people. Mm-hmm. And so I'm starting to feel a bit more like they are allowing me to be myself within Jordan, mm-hmm. which feels really nice.
I bet, yeah.
Yeah, it feels really nice.
So, but are you finding that fire, are you finding where it is and enjoying kind of bringing it out in certain places?
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I mean, they've only let me do it a couple of times. It's hard because sometimes the things that they want me to be tough about are kind of the matter-of-fact things that we're talking about.
I see.
Where I'm like, I don't really know if that's what I would do in this. I would just kind of say this to them. But in the moments where, like, I had a scene with, you know, Elizabeth on the show, Becky. And,
yeah. People love to yell at
Becky.
Oh,
it was so fun because she's just so sweet. She's got this beautiful little face, you know? And it was really fun because I kind of got to tell her about herself. And that felt really much like Brianna. Like, it felt like I was able to, like, drop into myself. So I'm looking forward to having some more, like, verbal combats
it's interesting.
With people.
You'll fit, you know, I mean, obviously you're still figuring it out.
Yeah, totally.
And you will, and it'll take a while.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'll get more comfortable, and that's when you're going to start probably doing your best work.
Totally.
Is when you're totally comfortable.
Absolutely.
With where you're at, which is amazing. But I like the tough side because you have such a sweet vulnerability.
Yeah.
That the tough side's great to see because then the vulnerability means something.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Because we see it a lot where people can be vulnerable all the time. It just doesn't mean anything anymore.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's cool. I think – but that's a cool character choice for you, too, is like you're thrown into this like you were.
Yeah.
And you have to be tough.
Yeah.
You have to. And even though you don't want to be, you have to. And then there's the breaking on the
exactly.
side. Exactly. You know? So it's just interesting.
Well, and that's a fun place to play from, too, is having to be tough but not wanting to be tough.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? It's like it's, you know, they always say it's more interesting to watch someone try not to cry than cry like buckets, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, the tough love that you have to dole out.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this, but I have to.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And that was some weird voice.
I know.
That's fine.
That was the melodramatic soap version.
That's
Yeah. Well, we could do a soap for radio.
Yeah, there you
that
go.
That's perfect.
That's I bet you it would take off.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's kind of what we're doing.
That's kind of what we're
a little bit.
But is that really a soap? No. It's too idiots on a couch.
Yeah, that's the great name of our soap, Two Idiots on a Couch.
So how long have you been on the show officially?
I want to say it's been like 8 months.
All right.
Maybe a year
coming
in August.
Coming up to a year.
Yeah.
And then you've been – you're on social media a little bit.
I'm on social media a little bit.
And seeing that.
Yeah, that's always been an interesting world for me, social media. I think that – you know, it was really interesting. I just posted something the other day and, you know, I told someone recently, I have depression. I've dealt with depression since I was a little girl. And so there are some times when I just need to, like, go inwards and not be on that because social media can really just make you feel even worse.
Yeah.
And I posted something really light. It was like, I don't even remember what it was, but it was like just moving through some feelings. Like, you know, you're important. I hope you all are having a great day. And people were so concerned about me. And it was really like, it was beautiful and a little like, oh, wow, good thing I didn't tell you how I was really feeling. Like,
right. You're knocking the door down.
Totally. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. It can veer off. You can put something so simple out there and it can veer into a weird territory, like, wait,
that wasn't what I was saying!
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Now, you said your fiancé, so that means chances are you got engaged fairly recently?
I did. I got engaged in December.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And he's a musician.
Yes,
composer?
He's a musician, composer.
Yeah.
He's a pianist.
Right, right.
And he composes for TV and film.
Now, pianist versus pianist. I've always been curious about that because some people say one way and some people say the other.
Just watch your mouth. Just whichever way you say it, you watch your mouth.
Mean,
and don't talk back to me either.
Just curious. I like the way you say it.
We could spell it. To be honest,
it's probably the incorrect way of saying it. It's funny. Chris is like, he's like classically trained jazz pianist, like,
yeah.
And he'll tell me, like, he's like, yeah, so and so, and he'll tell me some like amazing jazz. I'm like, who's that?
Oh.
And he's like, oh. And I'm like, at least you know that I fell in love with you because of you.
Do he and your mom like just talk shop?
Oh my gosh, they love each other.
Oh, that's amazing.
I never thought I'd find
the
human
that
my mom would love.
There's your act right there.
Yeah. Easy.
Easy. That's it, right there.
Yeah, my mom dies for him. That is so truly cool. Yeah, it feels really good. She hated everyone I dated before him. So.
Right. That's good. That shows she cares.
He seems like a really
right?
nice guy.
Show she cares. Yeah,
we got to go to we got to go to Graceland. She went. Brianna went to Graceland.
Oh yeah,
for the big GH thing. So we had fun.
Yeah, and Chris got to like meet some of the people I work with.
Oh yeah,
which was really
nice.
Fun.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah. That is. I mean, that is the wonderful thing about being here is that. You know, you're done. You're not working through the night. You guys can have as much of a real life as you want to.
Yeah.
You know?
It's kind of like an acting 9-to-5.
Is it weird for you to have a regular job?
Yeah.
It's weird for actors. It's like not having to wait around or wait for the phone to call.
Absolutely.
Or whatever,
it's a very – and it's funny because I feel like I still have this mentality of like, I want to work. Like, you know, I think I've just been auditioning for so long and I got pretty decent at it, you know? And so like now it's so strange. Sometimes I'll get sent out on an audition and I'm like, oh, I feel a little rusty. I'm like this, but it's like a good thing because I have a job. But on the other end, you're like, how long will my job last? You know, we're constantly worried about the end.
Yeah,
I know. It's weird.
This is a place where you can get very easily comfortable
totally.
In not having to worry about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, totally.
And so like, and there's something, you know, once you get a job, you want to enjoy it, right? So then you start like, so sometimes when an audition comes up, you're like, oh man, like it used to be audition, awesome.
Yeah.
Now it's audition. Oh man,
It's a weird thing.
Yeah.
It is a weird thing.
Because it robs you of living in the moment.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know what I mean? In a weird way, it robs you of living in the moment because you're like, okay, am I going to get the job? Okay, I got it. Usually it's after 4 or 5 auditions, and by that time you're like, okay, I got it.
Yeah.
Well, I can't say anything until I get it.
Yeah.
I got it. Okay, now you show up and you do it, and it's done.
Yeah.
But you'd kind of enjoy the moment of the day, but then you're on to the next, like, where's my next audition? What's the next thing?
Yeah, right. It's such an interesting world that us actors have to exist in, especially when you're, like, testing for something. I mean, I don't think people understand the process of testing, but, like, you're signing contracts. You're like, oh, I got to move to Vancouver next week
know.
If I book this.
I'm
going to be making this amount for the next 5 years. And then within minutes, it's like, oh, they actually decided to go with so-and-so.
Yeah,
and you're like,
poof.
Oh.
Okay, back to the bar.
Yeah.
That's why I drink.
Right? I mean.
Yeah, I drink because I have kids.
That's why I drink twice the amount.
I can attest to
actor
that.
With kids.
I'm an actor and I have kids.
But that's why.
Equals
like,
alcoholism.
We talk a lot on this show about, you know, what else do you have? And not because you need something else.
Yeah.
It's not that. But like, is there anything else in your life that you're passionate about or something that helps you remain positive, that helps you kind of steer clear through, like navigate the peaks and valleys of what we do. And you know, you're super young, so you might not, but is there something?
Well, you know, it's funny. That's actually something that's been coming up for me more as of the past couple of months, because the great thing with GH is like, there are some weeks where you work like every day for 2 weeks and then it's like, 3 weeks over, like, you know what I mean? You're not working really for 3 weeks because your story is not really what's going on right now. And so during that time, you know, being someone who is constantly auditioning, constantly in the hustle, there's not as much hustle now, you know, because my reps are like, I don't even know if you could do most of the stuff that we, try to get you out for. So there's a bit of silence in between those shooting periods. And they've kind of been driving me nutty.
I bet.
And so I've been like, you know, you come to our house and like, I used to paint when I was in high school and stuff. So I'm like, back, you see all these like half finished paintings in Chris and I's condo. And like, I've been reading a lot. I'm just trying to find inspiration from other places.
Yeah.
And I've even kind of been trying to research some like animal shelters and stuff that I can maybe get into. I'm a huge animal advocate. I love them to death.
Yeah.
And Chris won't allow us to get another dog until we move into a house.
Right.
So I'm trying to find other ways to like use that energy of loving animals. And so, I'm kind of like figuring it out.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely in the thick of like exploring it for sure.
Yeah. There is something about that time off when you have a job where you're like, oh, well, I don't need to worry about anything because I have a job. Yeah. So then what do I do? So that, and, you know, when we haven't always had those long breaks, So yeah, that's
is that a newer kind of evolution of the show?
Yeah, I mean fairly new.
Okay.
And we fill them to the brim now, our dark weeks, because we go off and tour and stuff.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, kind of along your question to her, it's how we can still be creative without having to wait for someone else to say, hey, be creative.
Yes.
So we can create our own show, which we have, which has been amazing because it's, you know, we've done things outside of our comfort zone. We've had to write a 90-minute show. We had to, I mean, it's just been.
It's brave.
It's been great.
It's
been amazing for us. And just create, you know, from the creative side, it's just been so, it's been fulfilling.
Yeah.
You know, and just, and honestly, sitting down doing this.
Yeah.
Has helped us so much because it's fun for us.
Totally.
And it's fun to get to know everybody on a whole different level and let the fans see the real person.
Totally.
Because a lot of times they can't, some people can't.
Well, there's
separate
no.
It.
Separate it.
But, and there's no other format that exists in where you can have this kind of, you know, it's not a 5-minute clip. It's not a 2-page spread.
Yeah.
It's not a, you know what I mean? It's like, so we can really talk and let it go where it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Which I think is great because you're allowing fans to fall in love or to be like, oh, wow, that person's totally different than I expected them to be.
Yeah.
You know, because people do think that we are the people on this show sometimes.
Yes,
you
correct.
Know,
yeah.
I'll meet people at fan events and they're like, wow, you're so nice. And I'm like, thank you.
I'm nice on camera, too.
Yeah. What Steve gets is, oh, you smile.
Yes.
Yeah. And, oh, you laugh.
Yes.
You know, so.
Oh, your hair's the same.
Right.
So is your T-shirt. But other than that, you're completely different.
Exactly.
I pretty much come right in at expectations,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah. Oh, you're just like Spinelli!
Yeah. Oh, great. Thanks.
Shooting higher next time.
Yeah. I got to say, though, the best thing that's ever been said to me that happens all the time is like, oh, you're actually not bad looking.
Oh, my God.
In real life, they're like, oh, wow, you're so, like, wow.
So much better looking than on television.
Don't you love when people say, you're like,
because you know it's supposed to meant to, it's supposedly a compliment.
Yeah.
But the inverse is like, oh, wow, do I look really
bad? What do I look like on TV? Yeah. A couple people told me when I met them, they were like, wow, you're not that tall. Oh, you're so much thinner in real life. And I was like, oh. Thanks. Guess I'll talk to Sean.
Sean the costume.
Yeah. See what's going on.
Well, it is a delight to have you here.
Yeah.
Aw, thanks,
and I
got to
just say one thing because she was thrown into the fire. Such a hard worker.
Oh, thanks.
That goes a long way.
Such a hard worker.
Thank you.
I can just see you in the hallways working. You're always focused on your job, which is amazing. And I know you've only been here 8 months, but just keep that up because that goes a long way. Because people notice that, you know, and especially how fast we go. And, you know, you just don't want to – you don't want to take time up if you don't have to.
Yeah.
There's always time to take time when you need the time.
Need
and
it.
Frank will give you that time.
Totally.
Always will. But you're such a joy to work with. You're
Thank
professional.
You.
You're awesome. And you're such a great positive energy, which is always needed anywhere.
Thank you.
So – Thank
that
you
really
so
means
much.
A lot to me. I really appreciate
means a lot
you guys.
That you did this. We appreciate it too.
Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
You're awesome.
Yes.
That's awesome. That was
you just made me a little dizzy there, buddy.
Yeah, man. I just want to throw some physicality into it.
Yeah.
Hey, that was all.
Break your neck.
I love Brianna. She's awesome, man.
She's so sweet, dude. Such a sweet person.
Totally.
So
and
cool. So
doing
cool.
a great job with the recast. That's not necessarily
yeah,
easy, but
a tough one.
Making her own and doing awesome.
She's doing great, man.
It is funny though. She's like, it was funny when I was editing it and you know, we were talking about, you know, that she was born in 1992 and so things that reminds me of how old we are. Specifically you.
I might have t-shirts older than her.
That's right.
Yes, and, that's amazing. And that's really depressing too. So
yeah, right.
I'm going to be right back. I'm going to go drink. Thank
but
you.
But when I was her age, there's no way I would have the command.
Oh, no way.
Like she just has just such like a power to
totally.
Her that transcends age. You know what I mean? Just got presence, a strong presence.
She does. She has for a young woman.
Yeah.
She has she seems very confident and strong.
Totally.
But so sweet too. You know what I mean? I think it's, I think that's an incredible balance that you can be this confident, strong woman, but also be so sweet.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
She's doing something right. Well done.
So, Brianna, thank you for doing the podcast.
Sitting down with us. Yeah.
That's right.
So, speaking of, people sitting down with us on our podcast, we have a tweet this week.
Oh.
I'm bringing back the mean tweets, at least for this week.
Oh yeah.
You know, sometimes there's just no good ones that pop up. This one I liked. This one was a good one. So this is in response to people wanting a specific actress to come on our podcast. And as anybody that listens to our podcast realizes, we don't use a booker. The only mechanism we have is going in Steve's dressing room. When we're ready to record, we open the door, peek our head outside the door, and see who's out there.
Pretty much, yeah.
There is no grand plan. There is no prejudice. There is no.
And we have been turned down multiple times, by the way, just because of people's timing.
Yes. Right?
And that's really it, because everybody wants to do the podcast.
We hope.
We hope. I think 99% would do it.
Right.
I don't know who the 1% isn't, but.
Sure.
You know, it's always been a time issue because we're always so last minute.
Yeah.
You know, doing the podcast sometimes that I'm like, hey, can you do it? And like, no, I'm leaving.
Right. Like, right. I have a life, but maybe congrats to you guys for not having one and you can stay here all day.
Yeah. Great.
Okay. So this is someone saying, gosh, I hope so-and-so does the podcast. And this person, I'm not sure if this is a name. Oh, I think it is. And I think they're a Frizz fan. And so I think I know what that means. So anyway, this person says, hopefully never. Those two immature idiots act like Beavis and Butthead trying to relive their past. Thank God she's never gone on that ridiculous show. She has class and self-respect.
Hold on.
Yes. So,
I get it. Hold on. I got to give credit though for the Beavis and Butthead thing. That's funny.
Well, it's not too far from the truth, really.
No, that's tough. Well, that's funny.
Well, and think of it like, I don't know, my hair, because Beavis and Butthead both had high hair, and
I would be more Beavis. You think so? Butthead. Yeah, you'd be.
Yeah, you're right, because my head, because he would comb it back and it would kind of like mullet on the end. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. Now we're reliving the past right there.
Yeah, yeah.
But that we're not reliving any past, ma'am.
I feel very much in the present.
We are very in the present. That's what makes this fun.
Well, you know what? This has been an interesting experience for me because, you know, like when we used to travel together and there was something about, you know, just being silly all the time, just being kind of goofy. And yes, there's still that element to what I do, I guess. But I feel very much myself as a person that's almost 40. And it's kind of cool. And part of it has been hanging out with you and like just – like having fun with my own personality. So thank you.
Right. Oh, thank you, Bradford. That's very sweet of you. I just think, dude, you know, we're at a time where we're doing this podcast. We're doing the shows on the road. We're collaborating a lot.
Yeah.
You know, we talk a lot about life, about entertainment, about what we're doing. And I think it's just, I don't know. Hopefully we're getting better as people.
Yeah.
First and foremost, and then hopefully we're getting better doing what we do, you know.
Sure.
Obviously the podcast is there's a learning curve, and I hope our guests, because you know, kind of off the pod, people have, you know, we're like, "Hey, you guys did a really good job and you guys ask great questions and it's a lot of fun and the hour goes by real quick," and that's what we hope. But you know, I think, dude, it's been so much fun doing these road shows. I mean, it's so much fun.
Yeah.
I can't wait to go.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't wait.
Well,
and we work on it. And we work on it a lot too.
That's true too. Yeah. Well, cause I mean, today is, this is coming out tomorrow or this week, Wednesday. And, we're getting on a plane on Monday to fly to Pittsburgh. So we're on the, you know, right on the precipice of another week away. And
yeah.
Talking about before we started recording, how excited we are. So yeah,
we're excited because we're doing some new cities. You know, Pittsburgh. We've done Pittsburgh before, but it was two years ago, pretty much.
Yeah.
Philly, great. It's already sold out, which is amazing. Boston's like super close to being sold out. Springfield is sold out.
Yeah.
We got Rockwell's. We were two tickets away from a sellout there. Right.
And we get to go eat steak in Niagara Falls, so that's cool too.
And then we get to eat a steak in Niagara Falls. And I will.
And Ruth's Chris, they put it in that bath of butter, herbed butter.
Oh, dude, it's going to be so good. Please, look. If you live in Canada or Rochester or Syracuse, you can go up to Niagara Falls very easily.
Eat some meat with us.
Check out StoneColdAndTheJackal.com for those dates.
And if you don't eat meat, I'm sure they have great vegetables. Steakhouses are – my wife's a vegetarian. She loves steakhouses because you can get a great baked potato and some vegetables.
Don't they usually have like a fish? Oh.
Well, she doesn't eat fish either.
Yeah, nothing.
But,
okay.
Yeah. But all if right. you – yeah. Anyway, there's something for everybody.
Yeah, I should probably know what a vegetarian is. if I was listening.
And we have a question. So yes. Anyway, thank you for that mean tweet.
Thank you. You know what? We'll be having Becky on very soon. Thank you.
I don't think she actually listens to the podcast because we're talking about people's humanity. We're talking about people's passion. We're talking about yeah, we have a lot of fun, but we take it pretty seriously. And
I did get a yes from Roger though over the weekend.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so Roger will be joining us at some point.
Oh, right. So that because I think the frizz is Franco and Liz, right?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. So we did our Vegas thing. It was great. Roger, Laura, Michael. We had a great time, great turnout. And I was talking to Roger, and he's like, "Yeah, I'd love to do it." So
awesome,
cool,
nice. Well, we had Michael on, so the old Michael and Roger
McBain.
Yeah, we can cross the duo off the list.
Yes, for sure.
So the question is from Jenna, and you know, we talked about last week we had a question about babies and what it was like having babies as people
in real life.
In real life and having babies on the show and what that was like. So this kind of is in line with that. She said she knows that we don't do much blocking or rehearsing. Mm-hmm. She was wondering, is there an exception when little kids are involved? And also, you know, when we have to say weird things about like mommy's sick or mommy has to go and like you're saying,
or mommy's dead.
Right. What are those things?
That's
so
good.
So do we have more rehearsal when there's kids on stage? And is there any talk of like making sure they understand that this is pretend, I guess, is maybe the best way to frame it.
Well, I mean, I guess there's not a lot of young, I haven't worked with any real young kids at this point, you know, right. three to 5 years old. I wouldn't love to say that to a 3 to 5 year old actor or little actress. You know, like the older kids, they get it. They know what they're doing. They've been doing it for a long time. So there's no really extra rehearsal. But it's an interesting question because that's always like, you know, with these child actors and actresses, does it affect them at a young age? You know what I mean? It's like as much as, you know, cause I took Brooklyn to work. Right. And, she went on stage and she was like, "Oh, I want to be on TV." I go, "Oh, what?" She goes, "Yeah, I want to be on TV." I go, will you talk?" She goes, "No." Right. I said, "Okay, great." Right. So the next day she goes, "Okay, Dad, I'll talk."
Oh no.
So I said, "I don't know." But I picture her because she loves entertaining, right? She loves dancing and entertaining. But I'm like, man, how do you have a scene where somebody's crying like and saying stuff like your mom passed away and she was a great lady and you know what I mean? It's like that's hard for me to even fathom.
Well, I remember when I first started and we were chasing Diego and he had kidnapped little Christina. This was before Christina got sore-assed.
Better say what that means
Before she had the soap opera rapid age syndrome. So she's still a little girl. I forget what her name was. She was so sweet though. The little Christina. And I remember what they did though. Cause it was violence too. Right. Like there was,
people, I mean, that's another thing. Sure.
There was people getting shot. Their stuff was kind of really segmented.
Yeah.
There was this thing where she had to run from this open door across the whole stage, and it was a bigger stage because it was like a warehouse, and had to run to Kelly.
Yeah.
And I think they did that individually, so she wasn't a part of the whole scene. So there are certain things they can do to you know, make sure the kids aren't involved in something that is either dangerous or...
Yeah, they definitely think about it, of course.
Sure, yeah. Right?
If they could segment it like that, they will. If they can't, then you can't.
Right.
And you know, that's how the cookie crumbles, I guess. But it's a tough one, man.
You know, the weird, the you know, sometimes babies get hired to cry, right? And so they want, not necessarily in our show, but like you see it in commercials and you see it, and like, God, that's a, you know, it's a.
But do they? Do they get hired to? They get hired to cry, but you know, it's like, because they don't do these little tricks on our show, okay?
No.
Because they're hoping the baby never cries.
Well, sure.
Right, because we got to shoot the scene and we don't want a baby cry. And right. If it's usually crying, it's always a sound effect off camera.
Totally. Yeah.
See, but the old Hollywood tricks would be, you give the baby something that they love, and then right before you start filming, you take it away. Isn't it horrible? That's horrible, man. That's horrible. That's what I do with you before the show. I take your drink away.
I know.
And then I get very sad.
I get very sad, but very eager. And I just face it the whole show.
And you're like, I'm not going on until I have this.
Oh, man. Yeah.
You're such a diva now. It's unbelievable.
Kids in show business. Tough.
I know. It's a tough one. Good question, though.
But thank you, Jennifer, for your question. Thank you, Brianna, again, for joining us. Thank you,
yep.
Steve, for hanging out with me again this week.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you to everybody who's listening to the podcast and supporting us. We're so grateful to you guys for just to be able to do this and go out on the road and meet people and have fun and laugh. I mean, yeah. That's just really what we love doing. You know,
we laugh
and listening to Bradford sing, which is going to be amazing.
That is fun.
We have a new little act.
Oh, we got new stuff. So exciting.
We're gonna test out.
Yeah. We're playing a show next week at a place that we've played a lot. So we always have to come up with new stuff. And we've got some new stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Yeah, buddy.
So, all right. Well, all right, we'll be talking to y'all soon. And Steve, I'll talk to you in like 5 minutes.
Okay, bye.
Okay.
Every car comes with its share of stories. That ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up a first date, the luxury package you got after a big promotion, or just the mileage you saved by riding your bike all summer. While you can't put a price tag on your stories, now with TrueCar, you can at least find out what your car's worth when it's time to sell it or trade it in.
Just go to TrueCar. Simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Then answer a few questions. Navigation and moonroof? Watch as they bump up your value. High mileage? You already knew it was going to cost you, but now you know how much it dings your wallet so you can plan ahead. And once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent in minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today. True cash offer not available in all areas.
Pluto TV is the leading free streaming television service. It's easy and completely legal. And yes, you can watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies for free.
I know you love that. We'll watch over 100 TV channels and thousands of movies on demand, all completely free. Pluto TV. Never ask for a credit card. You don't even need to sign up.
You can download Pluto TV on all your favorite devices, including your iPhone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStation, and anywhere else you stream.
So what are you waiting for?
I got no idea.
Never pay for TV again by downloading Pluto TV.